guys. Welcome back to my Flickers of Fear movie review show. And it's still March, so we're doing Monster March. And in this one, gonna do a little bit of a different kind of monster. One that was maybe, I don't know, I kind of feel like it was more original back then, but they've had other ones like this since that time. I kind of feel like this is sort of maybe where M. Night Shyamalan got the idea for The Happening, which was also kind of about killer plants, which this one is as well. I don't know, maybe it's not as rare as I'm thinking it is. This is the 1962 film, The Day of the Triffids. Now, I had seen this probably three or four times as a kid, and I noticed that it was on Tubi for free, so I decided to watch it. Now, I don't know if this is the case or not. I was watching another review of this movie, and they said that this movie, much like Night of the Living Dead, the original George Romero classic from 1968, had fallen into the public domain. I don't know if that's true or not, but it is all over YouTube for free, and nobody seems to be taking it down, so that could be the case. Have to say, though, even though I watched a more quote-unquote official version on Tubi, like with ads and everything, the print looks like ass. It looks really bad. And, like, some of the shots toward the end are just, like, really washed out, like, on the bottom. It just looks really, really bad. So I'm imagining, because this is a fairly well-known, like, sci-fi, British sci-fi from this era, so I mean, it's probably been restored at some stage and, like, put out on at least DVD, if not Blu-ray, but just know that if you want to watch it for free, you totally can, but it doesn't really look all that good. Like, the colors are all washed out, it just looks really shitty, so I haven't seen the restored version. Now, this is actually an adaptation, a very loose adaptation, which I'll get into in a bit, of a novel by John Wyndham, which came out in 1951. I haven't read the original novel of this. I have read some of John Wyndham's other stuff. He, you know, very well-known British writer of, you know, sci-fi horror type stuff. I think I read one of his novellas when I was a kid, Out of the Depths, I think it was called, which was actually really good. But I did read a synopsis of this because I was curious to see, like, how different this movie was than the book. And yeah, it's a lot different. So yeah, we'll get into that. So this movie, as I said, it's a British film, and the director was Steve Sicchelli. Sicchelli, I think, is how you pronounce his last name. I think that was, like, a pseudonym, actually. I think that he was, like, Hungarian. And with some assistance from Freddie Francis, and if you know anything about British cinema, then you'll know the name Freddie Francis. He directed a shit ton of Hammer films, and did he do some Amicus ones as well? I want to say he did some Amicus ones. I could be way off on that, but for sure he did a lot of Hammer films. So what you have, basically what the story of this is, there's a meteor shower at the very beginning, and so you're led to believe that what eventually become the Triffids, or the killer plants, came to Earth as spores, like, on these meteors that hit the Earth, right? Now, that's very, very different than the book. Like I said, I'll get into that in a little bit, because, you know, there's a whole other thing. Like, Triffids, it's funny because Triffids have, they act like in the movie, like this is an actual plant, and it's just like, oh, it's mutated and stuff. It's not really. John Wyndham actually invented it, like, for the book, but it's, this story was so kind of ubiquitous or well known that even, I believe to this day, like, any kind of, like, big invasive plant is still known as a Triffid. It's just, you know what I mean, like, colloquially. But it's not an actual plant, like they do kind of make you think that it is in the movie. So yeah, so there's a meteor shower, and then we're kind of jumping back and forth between two storylines. Now, the storyline that you have with the husband and wife scientists, I don't think that that was in the original novel. What I heard, again, I'm not entirely sure if this is the case, but I've seen this mentioned on a couple of different reviews and sources that said that the stuff that they did, the more kind of road trip stuff that they did with the Navy officer and the little girl and everything like that, which again, I'll get into in a minute, was they shot all that and it wasn't long enough. So then they had to add this other kind of, like, subplot with these two, like, bickering husband and wife scientists who, spoiler alert, eventually end up finding out accidentally, like, how to destroy the Triffids, which again does not happen in the book. This is very, very War of the Worlds. And John Wyndham even said, well, when he wrote the novel, that, you know, he acknowledged, you know, he didn't say this is my version of War of the Worlds, but he said this is very, very influenced by War of the Worlds because he was really into that book. And this, so this was kind of like his take on it. So you have these two scientists. The guy, the male scientist, is a complete jerk and an alcoholic. And I guess there's some type, him and his wife are some type of, I don't know if they're like marine biologists or something like that, because she says something about, you know, we have to finish dissecting that manta ray or whatever the hell she said. It was something like that, like a sea creature. And he's just like, I don't give a shit about fucking sting. It was a stingray. I don't give a shit about stingrays anymore. I don't give, this is so boring. I'm so bored with everything, blah, blah, blah. And he's just like a real like ray of sunshine to be around. And there's this one, I don't know why this scene made me like laugh so much, but like in a like sad laugh kind of way, where he was just kind of like, where's, you know, the booze? I guess because they're doing research like out on this really, really remote island lighthouse kind of situation. And so they only get a boat that comes like once a week with supplies. So I guess he only gets a bottle of scotch or whatever his liquor of choice is once a week. And he's not real happy about it. So he says, he yells at his wife, like, where'd you hide it this time? And she's like, honey, it's in the same cabinet that it's always in. And he's just like, oh, yeah. You know what I mean? And I was just kind of like, oh, boy, here we go. But yeah, he's just like way like over. Yeah. And she's just very like meek and just kind of like, you can tell she's kind of like sick of this shit, but she's just like used to dealing with it and like used to managing him and stuff. But yeah, he's just kind of like, I don't, you know, I'm sick of the science. I'm sick of this and I'm sick of you. And it's like, I don't even want to be on this fucking island anymore and shit like that. And he's just having a big fucking mantrum about it. And so she's basically like, okay, fine. We'll leave tomorrow. We'll release all our specimens back in the wild. She's like, this was your idea, by the way, but okay. So you have that subplot going on. And then you have kind of the main subplot, which is the one that is taken from the book. And that concerns a dude named Bill Mason, who I think is like a Navy officer or something like that. Now, they show him, he wakes up in the hospital, and he has just had, presumably, eye surgery. I don't think, because I did watch this a couple of times, but I don't think they mention what the eye surgery was for, which is really interesting because in the book, his eyes were fucked up because of something relating to the plot, but that's neither here nor there. Like I said, I'll get into like the differences between the book and the movie later. Yeah, so he wakes up in the hospital with his eyes all bandaged. And so they establish through like the doctor and the nurse coming in there and talking to him. And he's like, well, why can't I get, so all the dudes in this are really, really whiny. why can't I take the bandages off now? They're coming off at 8 a.m. anyway, because there's supposed to be this big, amazing like meteor shower. And he's kind of pissed that he won't be able to see it because he has bandages over his eyes. And his doctor's like, no, you're supposed to leave the bandages on for the whole 10 days. You have them taken off at 8 a.m. And he's just like, rah, 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 rah. And he's like all cranky about it. And he's like, you know. So there's that. Now, so what ends up happening, though, is that so he falls asleep and then the next morning he kind of like oversleeps and he hears the clock, you know, kind of chiming outside and he's like, oh, it's 9 a.m. They were supposed to come and take this fucking bandages off my eyes. What the hell's going on? So he starts calling out for like the nurse and the doctor and nobody answers. And so he's just like, what the fuck is going on? Like, nobody's answering and he's getting all like fucking ragey and shit. And so finally he's just like, fuck it. And he takes off the bandages himself because it was just like wrapped around his head. It wasn't like all, it wasn't like all fancy or anything. So he just takes them off and he's just like, oh yay. Like, I guess the surgery worked. I can see, I don't know if it was LASIK or whatever. They didn't have that back then. But yeah, so he's like, oh yeah, I can see, but he's like, where the fuck is everybody? So then he goes out into the hallway and there's like nobody around and everything's like all fucked up and like knocked over and stuff. Fun fact, in case you're thinking that my description of this, they're like, wow, that sounds like 28 Days Later. Yeah, that's exactly where Danny Boyle, I believe, got the idea. I think he actually did say that he was inspired, or the guy that wrote, was it Danny Boyle or was it the guy that wrote the screenplay for 28 Days Later? I can't remember now. Wait, did Danny Boyle write the screenplay? Now I can't remember. But yeah, he did say that he got the idea for 28 Days Later from this scene in Day of the Triffids, where the dude wakes up and like he can't find anybody in the hospital and he doesn't know what the fuck is going on. So finally he's like, you know, stumbling around the hospital being like, this is fucking crazy and there's like nobody here. And then finally this guy like comes up and jump scares his ass, and this is Dr. Soames, who was his doctor. Dr. Soames is kind of like looking out of the distance and shit. And he's, you know, the guy's like, what the fuck? He's like, what the hell is going on? And he's like, can you take me to my office, please? And he's like, okay. And so he takes him to his office, and then he's like shining a light in his eyes. He's like, yep, I can't see. Like, my optic nerve is fried. And he says, basically, what happened while you were sleeping and with bandages over your eyes is that everybody that went outside to watch the meteor shower is now blind. It like burned out their optic nerves. So apparently, people all over the world. Most people were watching this amazing meteor shower, therefore, most of the people in the world are now blind, which is not a good situation. So at this point, he's just kind of like, holy shit, that's amazing. But obviously, he can still see because he had bandages over his eyes and he didn't see the meteor shower. And so then the doctor's like, hey, can you just go over there for just a minute and like give me my bag or whatever? And then while his back is turned, the doctor like jumps out the fucking window and commits suicide. Bill is all, what the shit? Okay, so he's like, well, I'm gonna go back to my ship and see what the hell is going on. So he goes out into the streets of London, and obviously everybody is walking around like they're blind, you know what I mean? Like, not everybody, but most people are. So, you know, you get most of the people kind of like wandering around like that, and every now and then you have somebody that can see, like leading some other people around, but everybody's just kind of like, what the fuck? And like, nobody's driving, and it's like everything just like went to shit in one night, presumably. And so he actually goes to a train. And the train ends up crashing, I guess because the engineer was like, I can still see. And then he's like, oh, wait, no, I can't. And then he like crashed it. Now, no, I just like, and so people keep piling out. Nobody can see. Everybody's flipping out. And then this little girl named Susan gets out and she can still see, but apparently she doesn't really know what the fuck is going on. They didn't have like, you know, smartphones or nothing like that. So some of the people are like slow on the uptake, I guess, of like what the news was, and don't realize that almost everybody in the world is blind. So she gets off the train and she's kind of like, this woman comes up and is like, have you seen my son? Have you seen my son? She's like, I haven't seen him. And she's like, wait, you can see? And she's like, hey, this little girl can see. And then of course everybody, like this guy comes over, you can see, girly, come on, you're coming with me. And they try to like take her, like she's like their seeing eye child or something like that. It's fucked up. So Bill sees this situation and he intervenes. And so, him and the little girl, they kind of start on this sort of journey to first, they want to go to the dockyard because they hear a radio message that some of the people there could see because they were in a submarine and they didn't see the meteor shower. So, some of the people there could see, so they're like, we're, you know, if you can see, like, come here, we need everybody's help and shit like that. So, they start kind of like making their way, like, various places. Also, as if it wasn't bad enough that the meteors made everybody blind, the meteor apparently also brought these spores to Earth, which start out as kind of like little flowery looking doohickeys, and they seem like intelligent, like almost have sort of like animal intelligence, like they can move around and shit. And as the movie goes on, they start getting bigger and bigger, and also they can uproot themselves and like walk around, and they can also shoot like poison at people, which kills them. Now, interestingly, in the novel, the Triffids did not actually come from space. Triffids were actually like a plant, like an invasive. And I think Bill Mason, or what, or was he a scientist? I think in the book he was a scientist and he was working on Triffids. And then there was like a mutator to like, it was like genetic bioengineering. And it was like they, you know, it was 1951, so it was Cold War shit. So they thought like the Russians had bioengineered these plants that could like pull themselves up out of the ground and like run around and eat people. So they didn't come from space. It was like a scientific mutation or something that might have been done on purpose. I think John Wyndham maybe left it ambiguous as to whether the Russians actually did it or not, but I think he was like leaning toward that being the case. And like I was saying earlier, Bill, he actually was in the hospital at the beginning because one of the Triffids had sprayed like the acid shit in his eyes, so he needed like surgery, which to me like is a lot, that makes a lot more sense. Like I said, I haven't read the book, but I read like this synopsis of it, and I'm like, they should have made this into the movie because like the book seemed a lot better. You know what I mean? Because the movie's not terrible, but it's a little bit, and I like a lot of British horror and sci-fi from this period. It has like a weird, like inert kind of, I don't know, kind of energy to it. I'm not really sure if I am putting that the right way. I mean, like, cool shit does happen. The plant monsters, like the Triffids, you know, they look a little bit cheesy, but they actually look pretty cool. You know, for like walking killer plants, it's pretty awesome. And there's like some good, like, kind of creepy scenes in there. But I think it suffers too much, the movie adaptation at least, from being too similar to War of the Worlds, like having kind of a pat ending. Because you know how, like, at the end of the War of the Worlds, they're like, you know, oh shit, humanity's doomed, like all the fucking you know, aliens are going to kill us. And then it's like, oh, like a germ wiped him out. Lucky us. You know what I mean? This has that same thing. The book did not end like that. The book basically ended like, the world totally went to shit. These autocratic, like, despotic governments came in, like, you know, came in, and, like, everyone was miserable and it was suffering, and the Triffids were taking over. They couldn't figure out how to kill them. And then they ended it, well, maybe one day we'll figure out how to kill these motherfuckers. So the book had a lot more, like, bleak or a lot more ambiguous ending, whereas the movie had more of a War of the Worlds ending, where it was kind of like, look, we've done everything. Like, we tried burning them, and we tried chopping them up, and we tried doing this, because, like, when you chop them up, then there's, like, two of them, you know what I mean? So it's like, we tried everything, and they're going to take over, holy shit. It's like, you know, it's the end of humanity, blah, blah, blah. But then it so happens that the asshole scientist and his wife, you know, at the last ditch effort, you know what I mean, when the plants are, like, invading, they are, since they're at the lighthouse, so they have this hose that sprays salt water, and it sprays salt water on them, and salt water kills them. And they're like, woohoo, problem solved. It was right in front of us all along, you know what I mean? So it does have a little bit of a cop-out ending, and, you know, and I can see why they wanted to do that, because, like I said, War of the Worlds ended like that, with, like, a very simple thing, or something that we take for granted, being the thing that killed them. But it does feel a little anticlimactic, I have to say. So yeah, the scientists do kind of, like, factor in. That's why that subplot is there. But the main plot, like I said, is Bill and this little girl who's an orphan, and they're kind of, like, traveling around trying to find. So they go to this one place, like, they go to France, and then they find this one house where everyone's kind of, like, they're kind of, like, bringing people in, because there are some people there that can see, so they have, it's some kind of, like, I don't know what it is. It was, like, some kind of boarding house or big mansion or something like that. So they have, like, all these kind of, like, beds set up, and they have, like, all this food, and, you know, they're helping people out. So they go there, but, you know, the Triffids are still, like, getting up and, like, invading, and obviously, since a lot of people are blind, shitty people who can see are gonna take advantage. So there is one scene where this house where all these people are staying, like, gets invaded by all these convicts, and these convicts can see because presumably they were in prison and were not watching the meteor shower. So they can see, so they come in there and proceed to, like, force all the blind girls in there to, like, dance with them. And there's also one scene where one of the guys starts, like, dragging a woman upstairs where she's, like, screaming and freaking out, where he's obviously going to rape her. So there's all that going on too. So, you know, so Bill and the little girl, they kind of, and the good people that can see, like, at this place, have to kind of gather people together, like, as the plants are coming in, and they have to kind of get the fuck out of there and find some other place to go. Honestly, one of my favorite scenes in this, like, it, as far as kind of the implication of it being, like, frightening and everything, is actually quite near the beginning, like, not too long after Bill finds Susan, the orphan, who I think in the book is actually not an orphan. I think he does find a little girl named Susan, but he finds her alone, like, at a house, and, like, her brother has been killed by the Triffids, so he kind of, like, takes her under his wing, like, you know, father-daughter kind of thing, and is like, okay, let's get the fuck out of here, because she's all by herself. So, but there's a scene, like, not too long after he finds her, and they find this, you know, they find this place that has a radio broadcast, and it's in French, and he doesn't speak French, but she does, because she has run away from a boarding school, so presumably they were teaching her to speak French there, and she tells him what it says. And then they hear these people that's like that are on this airplane, and they're on, it's like a passenger airplane, and the pilot and the co-pilot and all the flight crew went blind, and they're trying to, like, not panic all the passengers by, like, not telling them, by the way, nobody can see where the fuck we're going, so we can't see to land, because, like I said, this was 1962. I mean, I don't really know what plane flying technology was like in 1962. I don't think it's like nowadays where you don't necessarily need human intervention, like, unless something goes terribly wrong. But yeah, back then, so they just keep telling all the passengers, most of whom are blind also, that it's like, no, it's fine, everything's okay, blah, blah, blah. And then all it takes is for this one little kid to go, is the pilot blind too? And then I was like, God damn it, kid. And then everybody starts flipping out, you know, because they knew they were, I mean, the pilot and the co-pilot, like, pretty much knew they were going to crash, because they tell, like, the flight crew, go back there and tell them everything's going to be okay. Implication being, you know, let them die, like... happy so they don't know what's coming. Like, you know what I mean? But then that kid, like, saying that out loud, like, causes chaos. And then, like, Bill and Susan are, like, listening to this on the radio. And the plane actually does crash, like, not too far away from where they are, which is, like, pretty horrible. It's, I mean, the special effect doesn't look that great. It's basically, like, plane, and then there's, like, a green screen explosion or whatever, like, over it. But, yeah, I don't know. Like, the implication of it really, like, bothered me. But, yeah, so, I don't know. Like I said, I like a lot of British sci-fi from this period. This reminded me a lot of, like, you know, the Quatermass experiment or something like that. Again, it's very, very War of the Worlds. And I just thought it was interesting. I don't know. I thought it was interesting how, I guess, the subplot with the husband and wife scientists that was added later. I mean, I guess I understand why they added that, like, to pad out the runtime, to have scientists in there, because I think Bill was a scientist in the book, but in this one they just made him, like, a Navy officer. So they needed some scientists in there to kind of try and figure out what could kill these things. And so they had to be the ones to come up with the solution, albeit accidentally, like they didn't even mean to. But the weird thing about it is that I kind of thought that with these two storylines that they would have, like, intersected at some point, but they never do. So it's almost kind of like two different takes on the same event, but they're coming at it from, like, different. So I thought that was, like, a little bit strange that they didn't, like, make the effort. Maybe they shot most of the stuff with Bill and Susan, like, they shot all of that, and they're like, oh shit, it's only, like, an hour long, we need, like, another 20 minutes of footage, and then they just, like, cobbled together this other subplot. I don't know if that's true or not, but I don't know. That's, hearing that, I was just kind of like, well, that kind of makes sense, because the two, they just kind of cut back and forth between the two stories, but they don't, like, relate to one another, really. So there is that. So it's a little bit disjointed, but that said, it's actually not a bad film. Like I said, if you're gonna watch it on Tubi, I kind of feel it's one that if you're into British sci-fi from this era, then you should probably see it, because it is, like, quite well known. I'm sure the book is a lot better. The book sounds a lot better, at least from the summary. And like I said, I haven't read that one, but I've read some John Wyndham's other stuff, and he's actually a really good writer. So I imagine the book is, like, a lot more interesting. And like I said, the book actually doesn't really have, like an alien component, because the plants, the Triffids, are, like, human bioengineered. There is a meteor shower in there, but the meteor shower is also supposedly, like, some Russian shenanigans. So it's more like a Cold War type story, or like science gone awry type of story, rather than like an alien invasion story, from what I could determine. So it's interesting that they chose to do it more like Alien-like, I guess, more like War of the Worlds in the movie. Now, they've made a fuck ton of adaptations of this. Not just movies, they've done all kind of different shit. Because like I said, this is a pretty iconic sci-fi novel. So they've made, I believe this was the first film adaptation. I think they did a serial, like a limited series, miniseries, on the BBC in 1981. And I've heard that one was actually pretty good and, like, a lot more faithful to the book, although I haven't seen it. Although now I'd be interested to see it, to see, like, how it matches up more with the book. Because, like I said, I kind of feel like I didn't mind, like, the scientist characters. I mean, because they were kind of, I mean, at least, like, the male scientist was, like, really entertaining because he was so aggro. Like, for no reason, and he was just, like, such a drunk and everything, but I thought it was kind of, like, a cop-out how they ended. It's like, oh, we spray him with salt water, and that's how you kill him. Is that what happened in The Happening, too? Like, that M. Night Shyamalan? I haven't seen it. I know it's about killer plants, but, well, no, because water killed the aliens in Signs. That's what I was thinking of, but I haven't seen The Happening, so I'm not really sure. So anytime you're doing something like that, and they just said it to M. Night Shyamalan, too, like, at the end of Signs, they're like, really, water? Come on. Like, I get it, but it's kind of like that. And now that I'm thinking about it, if you guys ever seen, like, the terrible, terrible, like, Z-grade 50s sci-fi Horror of Party Beach. Salt water, or actually salt, ends up killing the aliens. So that seems to be, like, a thing in sci-fi of that era, where it's, like, something, like I said, something really common that everybody takes for granted, like, ends up killing. I could see something like, I don't know, maybe not salt water, maybe something that's, like, a little less common than that. I mean, water just, like, out of the tap killing the aliens in Signs, that's just, like, unforgivable, because come on. I mean, the fucking planet is, like, 3/4 water. You'd think they would have seen that, like, when they were landing, like, oh shit, we shouldn't go there. You know what I mean? But if it was something a little more subtle, Maybe not salt, maybe like paprika. You know what I mean? It's just, you know what I mean? It's something like that. Cinnamon kills them. It's like something you wouldn't immediately think of, or something that's common but not so common that you would like think of it first. I don't know. But yeah, so that did kind of piss me off, especially after I discovered that that's not actually how the book ended. The book ended pretty much with like the breakdown of civilization to a large degree. Kind of like a Walking Dead type situation, and they're just kind of like, well, one day we're gonna work on figuring out how to kill these fucking things because they're taking over the earth, and they just kind of left it like that. So I don't know. It's hard because you can't. I feel like you can't really win. Like if you leave the ending ambiguous like that, then everybody get pissed off about that. But then if you do kind of like a pat easy ending, like oh, problem solved, like really easy. All we need is some salt water. Then everybody be like, well, fuck, and then everybody's like mad about that. So. I don't know. You need to like hit a happy medium with that, and I'm not really sure. It didn't piss me off too much in this movie, but it is a little bit eye-rolly. You know what I mean? But yeah. So honestly, I didn't mind this movie at all. It has some kind of weird laggy parts, and like I said, it's weird that the two subplots don't really relate to one another in any way. They're just kind of like separate stories that are going on the same thing. But this is actually really. It seems like a very, very. It's not so much this movie, but I think like the novel is really influential. Particularly like the scene, and actually this movie, like I said, the scene with him waking up in the hospital and everybody being gone was where they got the idea for 28 Days Later, the opening scene where he's walking around London and there's nobody there. So that's, again, very influential on filmmakers nowadays. So I thought that was kind of interesting. But yeah, it's on Tubi for free if you want to watch it. Like I said, the print is not good. So I don't know if someone's uploaded it to YouTube like in a better quality, but the one on Tubi is like pretty rough looking. It's still watchable, but it still didn't look that great. Hopefully they've done a restoration on it because like I said, this does seem to be kind of like a movie that has like a pretty decent cult following, at least among British sci-fi fans. So let me know if you've seen Day of the Triffids from 1962 in the comments, and that will do it for this Flickers of Fear. Continuing on with Monster March, and I will see you guys on the next one. Bye.